excited to be here with you guys today. I'm a huge believer in the power of stories and storytelling. So I just feel very lucky to be here to get a chance to share everything that I've learned over the, you know, all the years I've spent in marketing. So here's what we're going to cover today. I'm going to spend just a few minutes talking about why I believe brand stories are one of the most powerful tools any marketer has in their toolkit. I'm also going to spend some time talking about what the building blocks are of a powerful brand story. And the reason I want to do that is that I want you to know what to do when you walk out of here today, at the end of the day, and you set out to conquer the world. I want you to have all those tools ready and know exactly how to make them work. And then that's going to take us to the bulk of our time today, which is going to be spent talking about real-world examples that hopefully are going to help take some of the concepts that you've been learning about today and bring them to life, right? So that you can see how these things are actually working in the real world. I'm a pretty informal guy, so you know, if you have questions throughout the presentation, feel free to raise your hand so we can make it more of a dialogue. If you prefer to wait until the end, that's cool too. So with that said, let's roll, okay? All right, so brand stories, really, what's the big deal, right? What is it that makes brand stories so powerful and so useful to marketers? Well, let's put something out of the way, right? Being a marketer today absolutely sucks. I love it, and I wouldn't do anything else, but it absolutely sucks. Why do I say that? Well, if you're like me, when I was a kid, there was probably four channels, just a handful of newspapers, a few magazines, right? So it was very easy to kind of canvas the marketplace and just get your message out, get to people to know exactly what you're about and what kind of benefits you bring to the world, right? It doesn't work like that anymore, unfortunately. Now there's literally an infinite number of quote-unquote channels, right? Anywhere from ESPN to a 12-year-old kid with millions of followers on YouTube. So what that actually means is that consumers and people out there have gotten really, really good at tuning things out. Their heads would literally explode if that wasn't the case, right? And so it's something that they've kind of developed by necessity. And so what does that actually mean? Is that that's the reason why brand stories are so powerful, because it's exactly, they work exactly like a Trojan horse, right? It's your way of sneaking in your message into consumers' minds. And so today, you're going to learn how to do it, right? So that's what's really powerful about them and why I love them so much. So there's a lot of things you can accomplish with brand stories. Let's cover some of these, right? Some of the most common things that people use brand stories for are things like, obviously, to communicate your brand's origin and some of the key benefits. There are many different types of brand stories, and I'm sure you've heard about different versions earlier today, right? So when I talk about brand stories, and specifically what I'm going to be focusing on, are origin stories, right? So stories that tell people what your brand is all about and what you stand for, right? So that's going to be really the focus of the next hour. So other things that people use brand stories for are to convey your brand's true north, right? The purpose of your brand, the reason why you exist, to make your brand's key benefits believable. So a lot of times just the trajectory of the story, the fact that there was an issue, you tackled it, and you're here with a product, actually tells people and gives them a reason to believe in and the benefit that you're communicating. It also helps communicate a powerful connection with consumers, one that a lot of times is anchored in emotion, and only brand stories can do that. It's very difficult to do it outside of that. It helps humanize your brand, right? Put a face to your brand, make it touchable, personal, something that people can relate to. And it's also a great mechanism for helping consumers share your story with others, right? And become advocates of your brand. Now, all these great things are not going to just happen, right? Unfortunately, just creating a video, putting it on YouTube or anywhere else, is not going to just make all of these great things happen. You have to use the right building blocks to making that happen. Now, that is exactly what we're going to talk about right now. So by the time we're done, hopefully, you'll know how to do this, and you'll have this in your toolkit. So let's talk about the actual building blocks of a great and very powerful brand story. The first is the aha. Now listen, if you take nothing else from today's presentation, take this. Never, ever apologize for listening to 80s music, ever, okay? Anybody? Yeah, you guys, you feel me? not so much. Sorry. So what is the aha? The aha is that is the epiphany, right? That moment of truth where you realize two very critical things. Number one, there has to be a better way, right? And number two, and most importantly, you and only you can fix this, right? This is that moment when you declare to the world that you will no longer accept compromises, right? And what do? You set out on the most foolish of journeys. You decide to battle, you know, existing conventions and slay sacred cows. Now, these are literal cows, right? This is a vegan presentation. So no animals were harmed in the making of this. So that's the first one's the aha, which actually takes us to the second one, which is the long journey. This is the journey of 1,000 miles that begins with a single step, right? It's you against the world. Usually, it involves a garage or a home kitchen. There may even be a cameo from mom or dad, right? The important thing is that you never give up and you continue to fight against impossible odds. That is until you hit the breakthrough, right? The breakthrough. What is the breakthrough? Breakthrough is the holy grail. This is the no-compromise solution that allows you to sell that product that basically you can buy from the comfort of your home at a fraction of the price you paid today, right? This is the thing that you envision during the aha and that you work so hard during the long journey to create. This is the stuff that most people thought couldn't be done, right? But you proved them wrong because it is here, right? It exists. You created it. The mere fact that you're here and you started your company and you launched your product means that you solved that problem. At least that's what it suggests, right? Now, is that it? But wait, no, there's more. There's other stuff too, right? It's not just about the elements of a great brand story that matter. It's also the style in which that story is delivered, which takes me to the next one. Underdogness. And yes, that's not a word, I just made it up, but just bear with me. Because it works, right? I think it actually does explain what exactly it is that you need to do, and just that your story needs to ooze underdogness, right? People love an underdog. They love to root for the small guy, right? So when you're talking about a brand story, you wanna be David, you don't wanna be Goliath, right? You want people to feel and relate, to feel close to you, to relate to you, and to wanna root for you. And that's exactly what this is about. And finally, there's what I like to call personality, right? And this is my illiterate way of saying your message, your brand story both needs to be personal and also convey personality, right? So this is, you know, you really need to put a face to your brand, tell your personal story, get out there, take some risks, have some fun, right? Because as people get to know you through your brand story, that makes it human, right? It makes it personal. And that's what ultimately makes that message much more easier to reach home, right? And for others to wanna share that message with the people they know, their friends and family. So there you have them. Those are the five building blocks, right, of a powerful brand story. So let's now shift gears and talk about some real-world, you know, case studies of companies that are actually using this powerful tool and that they used it to create really powerful brands, right? First we're gonna talk about is Harry's Shave Club. Anybody here a Harry's Shave Club user? A couple of guys, all right, good, good. This is the shaving company that's fixing shaving. I love what they've done, so let's actually play the video. And we'll talk afterwards.
In the early 1980s, a child was born. Two of them, actually. Their names were Jeff and Andy. And inside these young men was what would become something great. Time went by. Jeff and Andy grew up, and they developed facial hair.
I grew my first mustache when I was 11.
Probably like 13.
Lie.
And one day, while buying razors, something happened. Andy got ripped off.
Getting ripped off sucks.
Why do razors cost so much? Like, there's no real good reason.
Actually, Jeff, there is a reason. One big razor company has relentlessly increased prices for decades, making insane profits at the expense of customers. So Jeff and Andy decided to start their own shaving company. Jeff and Andy's parents were proud.
Did we conceive Andy to take on Big Razor in an epic battle of David versus Goliath? Oh, hell yes.
Jeff and Andy take their destiny seriously because there's a big difference between good and bad razors.
It's particularly true when you're taking, like, a knife to your face.
And we almost put a bullet in the idea, like, 6 months in, because we're like, we just don't know if we can actually make the products.
It left Jeff and Andy with only one way to maintain quality and keep prices down.
We bought a factory.
They bought a factory. But not just any factory.
They bought my factory.
They bought Feintechnik, a 95-year-old German factory.
It's pretty loud!
Where over 600 German engineers, craftsmen, and production workers create millions of precision blades a year.
And they thought we were completely crazy. They called us the American Internet Cowboys.
Now I'm calling them friends.
You're a good hugger, Mr. Becker.
With the purchase of Feintechnik, the American Internet Cowboys discovered a way to create razors of exceptional quality without the questionable design of their competitors.
We essentially wanted to do the exact opposite of what was out there. Less, but better. Theirs looks like it was shot out of space. We want something that looks like it was made on Earth.
And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer an exceptional deal. At half the blade price, and with all those smart people, and that factory stuff, and those sharp razors, and the handsome handles, and a smooth narrator. Thanks. Big Razor got nervous.
They threatened to sue our pants off.
Big Razor threatened to sue their pants off. And that's kind of the whole point of this film. Jeff and Andy are two guys who put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you. Who need to shave, just like you. Who don't want to pay too much and like good design, like you. But don't take it from us. Take it from a few of our 2,700,009 clean shaving customers.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Andy.
And this is Harry's.
Meet the shaving company that's fixing shaving. Harry's.
Pretty awesome, huh? I absolutely love this brand story. It's just so powerful, right? You kind of think about what they've managed to do in just a couple of minutes, right? You just absolutely get their mission, right? This notion of, like, being the shaving company that's fixing shaving. It just comes across so powerfully, right? There's nothing you could do, like, there's no ads they could put on print or you know, billboards you can put on the streets or anything else you could do that would even get close to this, right? Let's talk about some of the things of why this actually works. From the aha moment, right, what happened? Andy got ripped off, right? It's like, everybody feels at some point in their lives that they've gotten ripped off, right? So it's relatable, especially when you buy racers, this notion of like 4, 5, 6, 7 racers, like you don't actually need all that crap, right? And so they kind of call that out, and they identified an aha that was relatable to a bunch of people, right? That rung true to a lot of people, and they created something around it. The long journey, it's actually, you kind of feel that struggle, right? They said, we almost killed this thing 6 months in. So then they had to buy a factory, right? There's this huge commitment on their part, the commitment to the journey, fought against all odds, right? When you talk about the breakthrough, so the breakthrough was the purchasing of the factory, right? Once that happened, they got, you know, partnered with this person that knew what to do, had the expertise, great things starting to happen, right? What about the underdogness, right? You kind of totally feel that. This is just two guys fighting against this giant shaving, you know, racer companies that are out there and threatening to sue them and doing all these kinds of things, right? So you feel like you want to root for them. You want them to win. And finally, personality. They got their parents in the video. They themselves are in there prominently, pictures of them as kids, right? It's just that connection is made so powerfully. So this is a perfect example, right? All these elements are very clearly in view. And what ends up happening at the end is that you feel this sense of connection with this company, right? You feel like you want to support them. They're on your side. They're actually fighting to fix shaving, right? And so it just makes it a very, very powerful combo. Next one we're going to talk about is Allbirds. Anybody here is a proud owner of Allbirds trainers? Wearing them right now, perhaps? No? All right. I've never tried these shoes. I'm gonna buy them because I love their brand story video. So let's play it. Let's see if I can make this work the first time. Boom. Come on, Microsoft. That work? Oh. It's a story.
What if you set out on a crazy journey to make a shoe out of wool? And in doing so... What if you set out on a crazy journey to make a shoe out of wool? And in doing so, found a way to make footwear that was more comfortable than, well, everything. So I know what you're thinking. Why wool? Because it's the world's most miraculous fiber. Inspired by these guys, we found a way to turn one of the world's most amazing renewable resources into a wickable, breathable, comfort experience that's like being upgraded to first class. We dispensed with flashy logos, unnecessary detailing, and a focus on synthetics to create something we think the footwear industry has been crying out for. Something better. The major myth about wool is an easy one, so let's hit it quick. When you think wool, you think hot and scratchy, right? Wrong. This is a completely different ballgame. No offense to the team here, but we're not talking about the jumper your grandma knitted you. Oh no, our superfine merino fiber is 80% finer than a human hair. So does it matter that most sneakers are made from synthetics and synthetics are made from dirty old oil? We think it matters. That's why we're using something renewable instead. Now don't just take my mum's word on this comfort thing. Take 30 days, try the shoes, and make up your own mind on what's real and what's, well, not. Now, you're welcome to try and catch a sheep and make your own pair, but probably best to leave that to the experts.
I love this brand story as well. It's just, you know, very short. It's probably, what, a minute and a half or something like that. You got this guy, very approachable, has an accent. Yay for accents, right? This is, you know, talking about creating the world's most comfortable shoes, right? It's like this total hyperbole of a claim, but he's got some stuff to back it up, right? He's talking about the miraculous fibers, right? So he's aha, right? He's got him, he was working on terms of creating a shirt and then ended up by mistake creating, you know, discovering the applicability of this fiber into the shoe industry. Long journey, maybe not perhaps as strongly conveyed, but you still get the sense that there was some work that went into it, right, as he was working to try to figure things out. Breakthrough, right, this miraculous fiber, the setting in New Zealand, land of, you know, 23 million sheep or whatever. I think what I really like about this is you really do get that sense of this being a small business, you know, an underdog story. This guy that's really, you know, it's not Nike, it's not Reebok, it's not anybody of those big food companies, and yet he's kind of figured something out, something special that he wants to share with the world, right? You kind of see elements, right? He's got his mom and his mom's friend sitting on the chair, so it makes it very personable. You kind of definitely get that sense of personality. You also get a sense, I mean, what I like about this example, and one of the reasons I wanted to include it, is that you don't need a lot of money to actually craft and communicate a powerful brand story, right? You can kind of see that in this video, because he's got, you know, at times during the video, he's mumbling, right? So instead of actually reshooting the video and making sure he's not mumbling, they just kind of put this thing, yeah, sometimes Kiwis mumble, you know? You kind of get the sense that he's kind of a low-budget production. He even at some point, he's got this little red horn, right? And there's this little arrow that says random horn. I'm sure there was some other element to the story that they were planning to do and ultimately didn't work. And instead of reshooting the thing without the horn, they just kept it in there, right? Or maybe it's an Easter egg, who knows, right? But you definitely get the sense of this thing being something that maybe was created by friends. There's some passion behind it. There's some energy behind it. There's kind of some young guys driving this thing and making it happen, right? So again, a very powerful story, very powerful brand story that does a lot more than just tell the story of a shoe. It just kind of connects all these dots and makes you feel a connection to this business and this brand that's very hard to accomplish with other means, right? Our third case study is Clif Bar Company. I'm sure but everybody here has probably tried a Clif Bar at some point, right? I figured. This is a, you know, I included this example because you don't always have to use videos to communicate a powerful brand story. In the case of Cliff, they actually feature their brand story on PAC. And they also help support it through other touch points, but primarily live through on the packaging. So this is actually a screenshot of what is on the packaging itself, right? So let me read it to you. Cliff Bar is named after my father, Clifford, my childhood hero and companion throughout the Sierra Nevada mountains. In 1990, I lived in my garage with my dog, my skis, climbing gear, bicycle, and two trumpets. The inspiration to create an energy bar occurred during a day-long 175-mile ride with my buddy Jay. We'd been gnawing on some other energy bars, and suddenly, despite my hunger, I couldn't take another bite. That's the moment I now call the epiphany. 2 years later, after countless hours in Mom's kitchen, Cliff Bar became a reality, and the mission to create a better-tasting energy bar was accomplished. Cliff Bar has grown since 1990, and still the spirit of adventure that began on that ride continues to thrive each day. As the company evolves, we face many choices, yet we always do the best to take care of our people, our community, and our environment. Gary Erickson, founder and owner of the Cliff Bar and Company. So, you know, it's short, it's concise, but very, very powerful, right? I should know, because actually, for many years, I worked for that other energy bar company, Power Bar. So, you know, you kind of think about this one, right? It's really interesting because that aha moment, right? This guy was on a 175-mile bike ride, right? There's this bike ride like the Century that many of you have probably heard about. That's like a 100-miler. That's a beast of a bike ride, right? So to be on a 175-mile bike ride, and be, you know, to be starving, and yet to not be able to take another bite of whatever stuff you brought with you, that's pretty powerful, right? That totally gives you a sense of what this guy was going through. When you think about that long journey, right, kind of again, like Mom's Kitchen making the cameo, right? So locks himself in the kitchen, spends 2 years developing something better. And then he talks about the breakthrough, the fact that he finally was able to come up with a better tasting bar, right? So again, it's kind of that aha, the long journey, and the breakthrough, right? What he's doing is just kind of telling you that story. And just by the mere fact that he's telling it to you and that you actually have that bar in your hand and you're reading the story, right, that suggests that he was able to accomplish what he set out to accomplish, right? So again, very, very powerful. Is there a sense of being an underdog? This is a guy with that basically had five things that he owned, right? A dog, a couple of trumpets, right, a bicycle. Absolutely. This is absolutely an underdog. And is it personal? He talks about his buddy Jay, his dad, going to the Sierra Nevadas, right? You totally get a sense of who this person is. And you know, he's kind of opening himself up a little bit to this. This is, by the way, it's just like three paragraphs, right? On probably size 4 or 6 font on the back of a bar that's no bigger than probably 5 or 6 inches, right? So there's not, you know, you don't need a big budget, again, right, to tell your story. You need to have this big production. You just have to find that point of connectivity that starts with a pain point, right? And then build a story from there that connects with consumers and tells them what you're about and why you're there. And the final case study that I'm going to cover today is Airborne. Anybody here used Airborne over the years? Yeah. This one, I love the story. Airborne is that miraculous, what do we say, I don't know, immunity booster. It was actually created by a school teacher that got tired of getting sick in class, right? You really can make this stuff up. Actually, you can make this stuff up. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I absolutely love this one. When this thing first came out, I actually remember where I was. I first heard about this thing. I think I was living in Evanston, Illinois. It was literally impossible not to tell everybody you knew about this, because it was that kind of story that was so catchy. It's like the immunity booster created by a school teacher that got tired of getting sick, right? Kind of like almost saying like the flight attendant that has the miraculous cure for jet lag, right? It's just too good. It's too good not to share with others, right? And they had these packaging that had like germs flying above people on the plane and then people coughing next to you, all of which obviously were trying to kill you. And you took this pill and all suggested uses, use it in airplanes, offices, schools, restaurants, blah, 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 right? So the suggestion of that breakthrough was so powerful because it was like, you know, literally was suggesting that taking this would prevent you from getting sick, right? Which is kind of silly, kind of weird. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute because there's a cautionary tale to be told here. But, you know, very strong aha moment, right? A teacher that got tired of getting sick. Some of the other elements maybe are not as clearly conveyed, right? But it's still just one of those things that, you know, again, going back to deconstructing this thing and thinking about its a brand story in its simplest form, right? This guy's probably, when this came out, I don't think there was even social media, right? This was like, it almost predates all of that. And yet, you have this story that spread like wildfire, right? It was almost no marketing budget. It was literally just told from person to person, and it just exploded. Now, I talked about there being a message and a lesson to be learned here, right? When you're creating and crafting your brand story, make sure that what you say is true. I know, boring, right? But it's actually really important. This is the age of transparency. So you want to make sure that what you say is true, and you don't want to be a douche, right? Because if you are, I mean, sooner or later, like, people are gonna catch you, and you know you're gonna be exposed for what you are, right? So, really important component of a brand story. Just make sure that what you say is true, right, and that you can back it up, because otherwise you could be full victim to your own success, right? This thing eventually caught up to them. There were lawsuits, people completely, you know, disowning the product. There was a bit of a backlash that kind of happened on this one. So I wanted to share that with you. So there you have them. What have I actually learned today, right? A couple of things. So brand stories are powerful, right? 80s music, rules, yay. So we talked about the brand story building blocks, the aha, again, that epiphany, that moment of truth, right? Where you kind of realize, right, that there has to be a better way, and only you can do it. Long journey, the journey of 1,000 miles that begins with a single step. The breakthrough, right? The holy grail, that no compromise solution that delivers everything to everybody. And then those two other things that you want to check off, right? Underdogness, so make sure that you're David, not Goliath, as you're working to tell this story. And finally, personality, right? My illiterate way of saying be personal, share who you are, open up, and then make sure that what you say and what you tell has a personality, right? So you don't come across as a square. So you don't want to do that. And finally, we talked about sticking to the truth, right? Not being a douche, right? Just make sure you kind of avoid that pitfall because it's, you know, people these days, there's not a lot of patience for that, and rightly so. Questions? Sometimes Argentines mumble. Did I confuse everybody? Anybody? Yes? What's your relationship with the founders?
They haven't been involved for many years and is pretty much out of touch with them.
Would you describe that as perhaps a friendly relationship or it's a non-relationship?
I don't really know. It's very before my time. Like, this happened 2 years ago. And so I just don't really know. We're not really involved with them now. Like, maybe some people was not amicable and other people, like, enough time has passed that they don't mind anymore. But it's just like kind of a dicey situation. So, like, the core story is really good. It's college students are really passionate about anime, so they made an anime convention and it's now the biggest in the nation.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, what I find is, I would say a lot of brand stories are made without, like, certainly with the approval of the founders, right? But they don't have to. Like, what I'm saying is, you can work with them, right, to basically get their permission to make a story and feature them in the story. It doesn't have to be all about them, right? It could be a story about the anime expo, and then just you spend a little bit of time talking about the origins. I've seen origin stories that don't necessarily directly address the founders, so that's another solution, right, you could do. It doesn't always have to include the founders, but there's a lot of examples out there of origin stories that have come out after the founders have left the company, and there's different ways in which that can be accomplished, right? So one example of that is when you look at a company like Annie's, you know, the kind of mac and cheese, and it's sort of like the non-toxic version of, you know, consumer packaged goods products that people know and love, right? So Annie's was bought by General Mills, and they're still, you know, telling that story about the origin, how she used to sell mac and cheese from the back of a truck, and kind of how it started, and the bunny, which was actually a real bunny initially, and so all that was done, you know, in its current form, was done after that owner has left that business. And, you know, part of it is, I would say, you know, it helps to maintain a relationship with the founders just so you can have that kind of back and forth and at least be able to go to them and make some suggestions. I find that founders, most of the time, they kind of feel honored with being, you know, connected to what they've helped create. And so it's usually not a hard discussion, but it's just worth exploring. Yeah. No problem. What else? Other questions? Yes.
How do you tell this story on social media without sounding like you're just self-promotion, like just talking about yourself all?
You know, it's a delicate balance, right? Because a brand origin story is almost by definition about yourself, right? But there's a way to tell that story where you know if you're kind of portraying yourself as an underdog, and it helps, right? It helps if you actually are an underdog, right? It's a little bit harder, let's say, if you're, I don't know, Nike or, you know, Microsoft or some of the stuff. It's a little bit harder to do that, but there's still ways in which you can kind of do that without sounding like you're really focused on yourself, right? If you know, I talked about there being different types of storytelling stories out there. Like there's some that are very focused on specific products. There's some that are focused on case studies of people that are using the products. I think Miri talked about some of those earlier today. What I'm kind of talking about today mostly is the origin brand story, right? And so in that particular case, I think it's okay to talk about yourself, right? Just make sure that you inject a little bit of personality in there so that there's something in it for the viewers, so the person viewing that video or that story is not just kind of feeling like, why am I watching this, right? Kind of entertain them a little bit, kind of hold their hand a little bit, share the struggles, right? Open up a little bit in terms of the journey and, you know, who you are as a person, who the company is, right? And I think if you do enough of those things, then it starts to be okay, right? It starts to be a more of a two-way thing as opposed to something that you're doing and talking about yourself very selfishly, right?
Okay.
No. What else? Yeah. I've seen people do like almost like teasers, right? Really effectively. So they'll use the different channels to basically push the different components. So it's almost like a kind of learn more, or, you know, like the call to action becomes, you know, go deeper and go into the rabbit hole, right? I think if you do that well enough and you kind of almost like tease the bigger prize, right? I think there's a good way to kind of be able to convey those messages. I think it's a little bit harder to try to tell that story just that way, right? So I think what I've seen people sometimes do and struggle with it is when they try to, you know, do something like maybe what we saw with Harry's. If you try to do that in, you know, I don't know, 15 seconds, that'd probably be really hard to do, right? And so what ends up happening is that you end up with this disjointed thing, right? It's actually pretty entertaining when you watch it, right? And I think most people would enjoy watching something like that, like what we saw with Harry's. And so it's always not so much about, it's not like you're asking a lot of people if you have something that's compelling, entertaining, that is relatable and kind of fun to watch, then I think people will follow along in that journey. It's just a matter of kind of using the right channels and the right mediums to then lead people on that journey. Make sense? Anything else? Anybody? Don't be shy. All right, cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.